Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for meditation is taken from our Passion reading from Mark chapter 14. Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, surely you've had a similar experience to Peter and James and John. Certainly there must have been a time when you were so tired that you couldn't fight the fatigue anymore, and you drifted off to sleep while something was going on around you. We all should be able to identify with those three disciples as they gave in to exhaustion there in the Garden of Gethsemane while Jesus prayed. It had been a busy, exciting, scary, confusing, kind of a roller coaster type of week for those disciples. It's no wonder that they had sleepy eyes and just needed some time to doze off for a while. They probably hadn't had a whole lot of sleep in recent days. And as far as their own prayers are concerned, be honest. Haven't you at some time nodded off during your prayers? They reclined on the soft grass in the garden. The cool night air was perfect for sleeping. A nap was inevitable, right? It sure seemed to be so. Now, it was sinful on the part of the disciples that they didn't do what Jesus called them to do. But again, let's be honest. We undoubtedly would not have done it either had we been in their sandals. Now isn't the time for us to be self-righteous. Now isn't the time for us to bash those disciples for falling asleep while Jesus was praying. After all, everything happened the way that it had to happen. This event should help us to identify our sinful selves. Yes, even we believers. As identify ourselves as sleepyheads whose spirit may be willing, but our flesh is often weak. And on the other hand, this scene also identifies Jesus as the Lord of all, who never slumbers or sleeps, as we read in Psalm 121, whose eyes were set only on doing God's will. When it came time for all righteousness to be fulfilled, when it came time for all the sins of the whole world to be paid for, it had to be Jesus. Only Jesus. He had to be the one who was awake to persevere through the home stretch of his earthly mission, to suffer the pangs of hell, and then to sleep the sleep of death in the tomb. He, and he alone, had to do this for our salvation. Tonight's Passion reading places before our eyes the depths of woe that Jesus would suffer for you and for me. We see him in the Garden of Gethsemane, sorrowful and troubled, with the weight of the world's sins pressed down on him. Not only was he going to soon be suffering physically, but he was also suffering with all of those sins, all of yours and all of mine. He fell on his face in weakness, and trembling, he prayed, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me." The cup of which Jesus spoke was the cup of God's anger, his wrath against the sins of the world. God's wrath is his harsh anger that also includes a furious condemnation and the fires and the torments of hell. This is what Jesus was facing. And Jesus, in his human nature, did not want to drink this cup. Perfect, sinless Jesus, whose will was truly perfect, prayed. He prayed that he would not have to drink the cup of his Father's wrath. And he knew. He knew that it was possible for God to change things. Well, this teaches us that death and hell are not good or desirable for humanity. Death and decay and eternal suffering, that was not God's plan for the human race. But all of that came about as consequences from Adam and Eve's fall into sin. A fall into sin which involved all of us, all except Jesus. He was sinless. He was perfect. He didn't merit death. He didn't deserve to drink the cup of God's wrath. So his prayer was not cowardly. It wasn't faithless. But it was the language of faith in God. In God for whom all things are possible. And this, of course, Jesus knew. Jesus' prayer, however, it didn't stop there. It didn't stop with, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." No, his prayer continued with these words, "Yet not what I will, but what you will." Three times this was his prayer. And then the Father answered his Son's prayer. While it was possible for the Father to remove that cup, the cup of his wrath, from Jesus, the Father's will was for Jesus to suffer for us on our behalf. The Father answered Jesus' prayer by giving his Son the strength to accept his good and gracious will. And the Son willingly then gave himself up to the soldiers and the officers when Judas came to betray him. And moments later, Jesus said that all of this was done so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. In saying that, Jesus was undoubtedly talking about Isaiah's prophecy from the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. There, the suffering servant is said to be stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and cut off from the land of the living. Even though he had done no wrong, no violence, even though there were no lies that came from his lips. But why? Why, we ask? Why all this punishment on the innocent victim? Isaiah writes, "It was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief." Just think about that for a moment. It was the will of the Father to crush his own Son and make him an offering for the guilt of you and me. Those of us who are parents cannot even begin to wrap our mind around the kind of love that the Father had for us sinners, to do that to his own Son, to pour out his wrath against his own Son. You know, it torments us when our children suffer, How could God possibly kill his own son? We must receive this news, which for us is good news. We receive this news with awe and with thanksgiving to God, who has done this to save us from our sins. And we simply trust God's word, which says that his good and gracious will was to love us by sacrificing his own son. But the Father also eternally loves his son. And Isaiah's prophecy did not stop with Jesus' death. No, it pointed forward to Easter, to the resurrection, forward to when Jesus appeared to his disciples and said to them, "Peace be with you." And when he said this, the eyes of the disciples looked upon the hands and the side of Jesus. And John writes, "Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." His nail-marked hands speak of God's goodwill toward us and toward all sinners. Peace be with you. The scars on Jesus' hands reveal that good and gracious will of God. That peace between God and man. The peace that had been made by the one who was delivered up for our sin and who was raised to bring us that wonderful Easter victory. And through all of this, Jesus had eyes only for his Father's will. In everything that he did, he was carrying out his Father's will. And through all of this, he also fulfilled what he had told his disciples in John chapter 6, where Jesus said to them, "I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." That's why Jesus came. It was not only what he went through during that Passion Week that he was doing the Father's will, but through his entire life on earth, he was carrying out his Father's will. He went on to say, "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. And I will raise him up on the last day." That, friends, is the Father's will. That is what Jesus was carrying out throughout his life, and especially during that Holy Week. That week when he prayed in the garden. That week when he went to the cross. That week that came to a climax with his resurrection on Easter morning. The good and gracious will of God is that we set our eyes on Jesus. That we look to the cross and fix our eyes on him and believe in him and receive the gift of eternal life. That free gift that God has given to us through his Son. With that good news in mind, we can go asleep tonight in peace. We can go to sleep every night in peace, and then awake again each morning to serve him and be confident that our eyes will again awaken to everlasting life when Jesus returns to life and to resurrection. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please remain standing for prayer, and our prayer is printed in your worship bulletin.